Hello everyone, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad that you're with us here today. And it's a beautiful day here in southwestern Michigan, and hope you're enjoying your Sunday. And just a reminder to, you know, to go to church today, to try to think about going to church. You know, we get out of the habit, especially in the summertime months, of, you know, we get very busy with activities and parties and things like that. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing is more important than our spiritual life. You know, I was to a funeral this last week, and you know, it's when you are not involved in going to church, when you're not involved in praying, it seems so void to us, to so many people. It just seems so distant. To deal with the fact of death, that we are all going to die. We're part of this human family. And I also would encourage you, too, that, you know, if you know of someone, a friend or a family member, even a neighbor or something like that, you know, someone passes away, try to attend the funeral. Try to attend the funeral service. You know, not just go to the visitation. Visitation is nice. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? But it's very important, my brothers and sisters. It is so, so important for us as a human family. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about father. We're going to talk about fatherhood. We're going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about are we part of this family, part of this human family? So as we go into our readings, but I want to remind everyone, if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. If you're thinking about becoming Catholic, Rite of Christian Initiation, RCIA, is going to be starting up at Catholic churches throughout the area, well, throughout the world. You know, it's kind of a class where you learn about the Catholic Church. And then in the springtime, Easter time, you're brought into the church. If you've been baptized in another faith tradition, mainline Trinitarian Catholic Church, then, or not Catholic Church, but another church, a Protestant church or Bible church, generally that baptism is accepted by the church. So then the other sacraments you would receive is Holy Eucharist, which is Holy Communion, not just plain communion, but Holy Communion, the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And reconciliation, of course, to clean house, and you know, have your marriage blessed, many different things. The beautiful, beautiful depth of the Catholic Church, so beautiful and so rich, and it is a family. It is a family. I think that is the greatest, one of the greatest differences with the Catholic Church, you know, and sometimes we can be that way too, you know, we can be kind of distant from each other, but it is a family, it is a church community. Also, if you're interested in anything else about the Catholic Church, you're doing some investigative work, go to EWTN.com. And also, there's a program on there, the Coming Home Network. There's Catholic.com, which is the Catholic Answers people down at, over out in San Diego. They have some great information on Catholic.com, which is Catholic Answers, CatholicAnswers.com. They also have some wonderful answers and can answer questions for you as well. And especially, you know, we can always find, you know, we had this from last week, you know, we can run into a bad pastor or priest or deacon or men or women religious from the Catholic Church or any church for that matter, or any faith tradition for that matter. So maybe they're having a bad day, or maybe they're just totally off track, right? You know, off their rocker, so to speak. And you need to go to see somebody else, just like you would if you went to a dentist or an attorney, and, you know, they weren't quite right, you know, they just weren't helping you. Go to a different person. Get a second opinion, no matter what it is. You know, sometimes, especially in the cases of God, you know, get a second opinion. It can be a good thing and an enlightening thing. So here we go. So this is July 29th, 2018. This is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're going to start with the readings that are done at Mass. This is basically the Liturgy of the Word. If you want to enjoy Liturgy of the Eucharist, which is Holy Communion, you need to go to Mass. Okay? So we're going to do Liturgy of the Word, and hopefully that will entice you to go to Mass today. And if not today, maybe tomorrow. We have church services 7 days a week. So, and Mass is 7 days a week, every single day. So let us be in prayer as we read these readings, these beautiful scripture readings. Our first reading is from 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44. A man came from Bethel-Shalah, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits, and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you also called to be one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of John, John 6, 1 through 15. It's John 6, 1 through 15. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who has come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so, some beautiful readings here. And of course, John chapter 6, very Eucharistic gospel, the entire gospel. And it is a great cornerstone on how many people come into the Catholic Church. John chapter 6, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And this foreshadowing, and we see this foreshadowing all the way back to our first reading, see, from 2 Kings, where food becomes this connection, giving to the people to eat. And the Catechism has this beautiful, beautiful reading that is, in a certain sense, you know, just the beginning. Even though the Eucharist is the source and the summit, the highest point of our Catholic faith, the Catechism points out in a very powerful way that it is freeing us from this earthly thing of hunger. See? And Jesus comes to do that. He frees some individuals from the earthly evils of hunger, injustice, illness, and death. But the main thing is that he is freeing us from the greatest slavery that we have is sin. Doing what I want to do. Having it my way. Doing it my way. And so I want to read that from the Catechism. It's very powerful. And we'll see how this is all connecting together from this, these loaves of bread that are multiplied in 2 Kings and then here in John, but also this richness of Ephesians. And we'll get into that too. But I want to read this 549 from our gospel reading today. And may seem like we're jumping around a little bit, but you know, sometimes I do that, and I apologize if I'm making you lose track, but try to stick with me on this, because you think about that what the most important thing for us to do every day is what? Of course, we breathe quite normally, but to eat, right? To eat. And then the question is, what do we eat, right? Are we feeding our body with good things, or are we feeding our bodies with garbage? And you know, there's many ways that food enters us. Food enters us through our eyes, through our ears, through our mouths. Food enters us, food gets on us, by where we go, where we live, what we practice, what we roll around in, you know. So we have to be careful. So here's this beautiful reading from 549 of the Catechism, directly connected to this gospel reading. And also, and then we're going to talk about unity of peace too, which is in Ephesians. But by freeing some individuals from their earthly evils of hunger, injustice, illness, and death, Jesus performed messianic signs. Nevertheless, he did not come to abolish all evils here below, but to free men and women and children from the greatest slavery, sin, which thwarts them in their vocation as God's sons and daughters, and causes all forms of human bondage. See? So God has come to free us, my brothers and sisters, has come to free us. And as we talked a little bit last week, you know, there's some tough readings. You know, sometimes people don't want to hear that. You don't hear about the original church, the church. No space in between there. The church. T-H-E-C-H. See, the church is the Catholic Church. The fullness of the faith. Almost 2,000 years now of history. Well, we could say it has been 2,000 years. You know, 2,018 years. We consider Jesus maybe as 18 years old now, right? See? If we go back 2,000 years. So we think about this. We think about the church that I'm in. We talked about, you know, partitions. Ephesians talks about that. And Ephesians, very powerful readings, preaching by Paul. See? And what is he talking about this? What is he talking about? One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One God and Father of all of us, who is over all and through all and in all. See? Jesus Christ, God comes here to unite us from the Jewish people and all the Gentiles. Everyone. We are one family. One Father. Yes, Father. Not Master. Father. A family. He is our Father. We are His children. And so we have this great richness of diversity. It's not opposed to this, all these other things, but unity, maintaining unity and peace. The church is one. And so we need to support one another with love. I also want to read this from the Catechism 814, which is also very beautiful too. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this is a Catholic outreach of the Catholic Church here in southwestern Michigan, asking all those to come home to the church, not just Catholics, but everyone. Those who don't believe in anything, come home. Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Bible Church people, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, come home. Break through all of those barriers, all of those partitions, all the way back, partition after partition after partition, that we have set up. We have set up. Men and women have set up. Not God. Men and women have set up. They've said, I have this prophecy. I start a church. I have this prophecy. I see this vision. I start a church. No. We back it all the way up. Back it all the way up to when Jesus was born and His death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven tore down all those walls. We are the ones who have put those walls in place. So you are all invited back to this family to follow the one and the only Jesus Christ. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Very powerful. Very hard teaching. Very difficult teaching. It gets more difficult as we go through John 6. It gets more and more and more and more difficult. And we will get to that in 2 or 3 weeks. You can read ahead if you'd like in the Gospel. But what happens is some of Jesus' followers walk away when they can't accept the difficult teachings on the Eucharist, on Holy Communion. They walk away as they walk away today and start their own church, start their own religion, have their own factions, divisions. See, it's very sad. And so there's much for us to pray about. But we have to invite our brothers and sisters to come back home. People will say, oh, the church is broken. Oh, the problems here, problems there. There's problems in every family, my brothers and sisters. Let's not be silly about this. You know, the abuse scandals that are rocking this country and this world are not just in the church. The church is just a representative of what society is, what our culture is. Is it perverted? Yes, it is. Is it sick and insane? Yes, it is. That's not the church's fault. That's certainly not God's fault. That's our fault. We need to take responsibility for that as persons. As persons. As people. As adults. How do we teach our children? How do I talk in front of my children? Do I cuss and swear? Do I constantly watch the garbage on the television set? Not just the garbage of the sexual garbage, but the news, which sometimes I think is worse, full of lies and deceit, slander and disgust, hatefulness, bitterness, more factions, more feuding, more partitions, more walls, no bridges. No love, no harmony. And so, my brothers and sisters, what do we do? How do we react? Well, I say that we react with the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So I want to read from another reading from the Catholic Church on the Catechism. The Catechism is read about Ephesians 4, about this oneness, about this unity. And I'm not talking about one world government or anything like that. I'm talking about following Jesus Christ, being a follower of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's from 814 of the Catechism. So I'm going to get to that. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and you're here listening to this program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. It's an outreach of the Catholic Church for you to come back home. You know, another great thing to listen to is there's local radio stations, local Catholic radio stations, holyfamilyradio.net. You can go to that on the Internet. And, of course, Diocese of Kalamazoo. DIOKZOO.org. And so here's 814 of the Catechism, really beautiful on this, what the Catechism has to say on this. From the beginning, this one church has been marked by great diversity, which comes from both the variety of God's gifts and the diversity of those who receive them. Within the unity of the people of God, a multiplicity of people and cultures is gathered together. Among the church's members are different gifts, offices, conditions, and ways of life. Holding a rightful place in the communion of the church, there is also particular churches that retain their own traditions. The great richness of such diversity is not opposed to the church's unity. Yet sin and the burden of its consequences constantly threaten the gift of unity. And so, the apostle has to exhort Christians to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But what are these bonds of unity? Above all, charity binds everything together in perfect harmony. But the unity of the pilgrim church is also assured by the visibility of the bonds of communion. Profession of one faith received from the apostles. Common celebration of divine worship, especially the sacraments. Apostolic succession through the sacrament of holy orders, maintaining the fraternal concord of God's family. It's so beautiful, my brothers and sisters, this great history, this great tradition that we have in the Catholic Church, handed all the way down to our current Holy Father, Pope Francis, and what he teaches. And you know, even with Pope Francis, some people say, well, I don't agree with everything. That's, you know, you don't have to. What you have to agree with is Jesus Christ. What you have to agree with is that you're going to try, that you make this profession of faith, that you try, that you are actively trying and praying. And also always to remember that this is a battlefield. You know, the devil is constantly working on us, constantly trying to destroy us, constantly trying to destroy fatherhood, this oneness, this unity. And that's where this greatest disruption happens. So another thing about this too is that, you know, we have to remember how often things get upset and people get upset. And we react to things. And sometimes the best thing to do is to sit back and just wait. Wait for a day or two or a week. Sometimes I think this Twitter thing is the worst thing ever because people don't think about what they're going to say. They react. We've become a reactionary society, a reactionary culture. And I think the devil loves it. You know, he whispers in our ear, oh yeah, you should do this, you should do this, you should say this, you should say that. And it's ridiculous. You look back on it the next day, and why would I say anything like that? Why would I say or do anything so horrible and so terrible? And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go through this week and as we think about these scripture readings, we think about this unity. And does my church have this unity with other Christian churches? Do I have this apostolic succession that goes all the way back? And I'll tell you, unless you're in the Catholic Church, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a point, there's a partition point where it happened, where a man or a woman or a group of men and women have decided, you know what, I don't believe this old stuff, I'm going to believe this new stuff today. And I think this is it, this is the truth. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's deception. It's deceiving. And many, many times, it is not the truth at all. All churches, all synagogues have some form of truth, absolutely. Some piece of truth. But the fullness of truth, the test of time, has been proven and let out in the Catholic Church. And so, my brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray about it. As RCIA classes start, as people start to come into the Catholic Church and learn about the Catholic Church, I invite you to investigate that and look into that and pray about that. You know, is the church for me? And I say, my brothers and sisters, it is for you. It is for you, and it is waiting for you. This fullness of the sacraments, to receive all the sacraments, all the grace that God has to offer you, not just in the liturgy of the word, but in the liturgy of the Eucharist. And may Almighty God bless all of you, and may Almighty God bless all of your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you all.